Hello, and welcome back to the Handstand Cast with me, Emmett Lewis, and my glorious co-host, Mikael Christiansen. How are things going, Mikael?
Glorious. As you just said. Could be worse.
Could be worse. Can always be worse.
Yep.
Apparently there's a coronal mass ejection today that's meant to blow out all our satellites and ruin humanity.
Oh, great.
I've been waiting for that one to kick in for a while. I definitely had it on my bingo card for 2020, so I'm kind of happy it's turning up today. What it'll mean in reality is disappointment when everything still works, but still got to roll with it.
Yeah, by the way, I remember that there is this guy, I never use Facebook, but I apparently have him on Facebook, and once in a blue moon when I go on Facebook, I see his ramblings, and his last one, he's past conspiracy theorist. He's graduated nutcase. So the last thing he had posted was that the world would end the 12th of March. Would be cool to write him, but I'm not going to because he seems rather out there. But it just reminded me. I've been watching these end of the world documentaries, not relating to any World War III scenario, nuclear holocaust, etc. Bloody, bloody, blah. But other things. And there was this great one by a YouTube channel called Atrocity Guide. She makes the best videos. It was one about this, one of these classical, what is it called? Rapture predictions. Yeah. And it was this American, really old guy who ran this, he ran a radio station. Back in I guess maybe early 2000s or something, Christian fundamentalist, and I was constantly doing various numerology to predict when doomsday was going to happen, and he kept doing it, and of course never fucking rolled around any doomsday. And she's kind of documenting the various groups that believed in this, and that's really fucking sad. There is this one guy, he's standing there on Times Square, and he's at 6:03 rapture will finally happen. And there are some people filming him with phones and stuff because he's sincerely believing this. And he has sold everything he owns. He has nothing left. He sold absolutely everything because he's going to ascend to the heavens, right? 603 rolls around.
You don't even need cash then. That's his fundamental
mistake.
I don't
know. 604 rolls around. Things are to suck, kind of suck. And he looks around and he's extremely disappointed. Handstands.
Yeah. So anyway, in terms of my own self-destruction, I have corona at the moment. So if you're listening to this cast, I suggest you wear a face mask.
Mm.
We're sitting here in the studio with face masks on.
Extremely. I'm sitting in another country, so I'm looking at Emmett, and luckily I don't need to wear a face mask.
I think I got I think I got corona from Sweden because I was teaching in Sweden.
From Sweden?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you and were teaching
I think
in
I came
Sweden,
back. Right, either Sweden or Denmark because I had to fly through Denmark. So we're blamed then Swedian.
How's your symptoms?
Not too bad, actually. It's not too it was kind of actually very interesting. The first kind of symptoms I got were basically the same side effects I got from getting the vaccination and the first shot. That kind of wiped me out a bit. I was like, hold on, this is very familiar. This is it. So I feel like it was my vaccine shield activating. It was like, go, vaccine shield. Yeah. Boom, shields up. And you just get side effects instead of actually corona. So that was fine.
Yeah, I had fucking nothing. As a friend of mine wrote me. She was like, "Oh my god, you have COVID? Are you okay?" And I wrote her "What's your symptoms?" She wrote, and I just wrote "Runny nose, at infinite power." And I sent her some videos of some stupid handstand stuff. So I was like, "Well, I don't know. I guess I was just very lucky."
Yeah.
But I had blaster training those 2 days where I had symptoms.
We could just get a vial of Corona that you could inject into yourself when you need to have a dank training session.
Yeah, I was spectacularly good. It's probably the best one arm planche I did in all of 2021. Yeah.
And that was only on Omicron. Imagine what Alpha would do to you.
Yeah. I'd probably just be I'd evolve fucking a jetpack or something.
Anti-gravity handstands. So, in light of Corona, we're going to do something completely unrelated to viruses and everything, is handstands and aging. I know we kind of talk about learning while younger, but a few requests to talk about learning while a bit older. So it's kind of one of those. topics where it's like, I don't know. It's one of those things, like, it's a lot of the training advice is just like the same advice you would give someone who's younger, just we might have a bit less capacity, I suppose. I think, like, I think at one of the most fundamental levels is like, say we just talk about people 40 plus or other stuff that we both train kind of people that. It's just like when you're older, like 30, once you're over 30, your life is generally a bit more complicated for other reasons than it is when you're 17. And I think that is what takes up a lot of time. It's like, okay, maybe you have kids. Maybe you have a more complicated job situation where you have to be like there. You know, there is more going on in life that has to be managed. And I think that is probably one of the bigger, like, it's very rare that you'll find like a 45-year-old who can just go, I'm just going to train twice a day and I still sleep on a couch. Like, yeah. They're my favorite 17-year-olds to train. I sleep on a couch and I can train infinite amount of time and I only spend my money on food. It's like, boom, we have a winner. What do we, like, yeah.
It's quite interesting with that. I've been, like, thinking of that a lot, of course, also being in, like, mid-ish 30s, seeing kind of the differences from before. And of course, I mean, like, I can't speak with personal experience how it's like training with, like, 45 or 60 or whatnot. Though I have trained individuals of all those ages several times, so I've kind of seen a few tendencies which you kind of might be able to extrapolate to some degree in relation to both science and experience with other people learning other things at various ages and so on. I do think that, like, it's I think there's a tendency to perhaps overemphasize the biological aspect of things, though it's also very important. But like you say, like, the fact that your life looks different, your life priorities might also be drastically different. I mean, anyone who is in their mid-30s and know that they're not thinking exactly the same way as when they were 20 and so on and so on and so on. Even being 25, you don't think like you were when you were 17. So speak for yourself. Assuming that your life priority and like the way you think changes over time, I think is a good thing to do, because I think at least the younger you are, the more you think that you'll be like this forever. Yeah. And then you change as you grow, because you see what's useful and what's not, what you need to do and what not, and so on. But that these the kind of the life priorities, focus, goals, etc., like, and also just this overall kind of calm I think you get when you're older means that, like, a lot of people, like, I remember at least myself, I was stressing a lot with having to do this and having to do that and, like, fulfilling this and fulfilling that when I was younger, because I thought I had so little time.
Yeah.
And then you grow older and you're just like, well, like, first of all, you're not gonna perhaps, like, kill yourself as much over this thing as you thought you needed to before, for various reasons. So I think there's a lot to that. Having particularly seen a few people that are, like, I've trained a couple of people in their, like, 50s and 60s and stuff. And, like, I mean, it has to be said, of course, like, things usually take a longer time to develop and learn when you are older on average than it does when you're younger. Like, your body is not at the same place. And again, like, your older life things certainly add into that. But I think it's unrealistic to assume that everything works the way they do for, like, a 17-year-old that sleeps on a friend's couch and only needs to care about, like, doing all of the handstands in the day, and that's it.
Yeah. I think, it's one of the things, I think, basically, there has to be a kind of acceptance on, I don't know, no, this is the kind of thing, like, I really feel like people have a lot better physical capabilities to gain, even in their 40s and 50s, than they go in assuming. I really think it is one of those things, like, if you just look at sheer potential of the organism, like, the results are generally in line with the effort and diet put in for someone who is in their 20s. I know it doesn't seem like that, but there is like, it is for on an average, obviously on an average here, there is like a lot of, you know, strength and other stuff that can be developed and flexibility that can be developed. The main thing I kind of find is like there can be a semi-defeatist attitude that sets in and it's like, oh, I can't get this because I'm not younger, or, you know, I've seen this person, but they've been doing it and they can do it. It's like, well, they've been doing it for like, you know, they're in their 30s, they're much better than you, but they've been doing it since they were 16 or 20 and they've had like 12 years of training ahead of you. And that's kind of like I suppose with all kind of disciplines, there is just, there has to be kind of an acceptance that it's just going to take time. That's where it comes up to. And that can be a bit of the disheartening process, because I find with, I don't know, I find with adults, we have a lot less tolerance of being crap at something for ourselves. Mm. I think like, it is just like, it's one of those things like kids generally, you know, we're obviously extrapolating here, you know, guesstimating, but like kids and stuff just generally are okay at being shit at something and just doing it. And just doing it and doing it, and then they get a bit better, and they just, maybe they haven't got such a refined sense of form or this is right, this or wrong. Whereas a lot of adults can be like, oh, can the perfectionism that I can't do it right kicks in, and because there's probably a better logical understanding of what is correct form and what isn't. And that's one of the things I find a battle a lot when I was teaching classes, where I'd have like older people coming. It's like, they, you know, we're looking for like, give me 60, 70% correct when learning something and I'm happy. Whereas they're expecting 100% correct. And I was like, well, you know, I've had to have the conversation with a few people. It's like, you know, if you could do a certain drill, like 100% correct, I'd give you something harder. Like, I'm not going to give you something you can do perfectly when you're training, like particularly at a developmental stage. It's like, okay, we need to give you something difficult. So that can be something that can, obviously it's a personality thing and other stuff, but it can be one of the things that you end up fighting a lot. It's like, oh, I can't do this, or I can't do that. That kind of idea of like, I know what I should have to do, but I can't control all the bits of my body to make it happen.
One interesting thing I see also with, and I've seen it myself a lot, and with One other thing I think has a tendency for those older to hold you back in terms of development of learning, and that is that I think as kids we're like that entire thing of like when you're younger you have a tendency to just not care about certain things and just be completely oblivious to a bunch of
of
social things, which not really great for many things, but or I mean, it is what it is. That's what, where you are in life. But what's really good about young people learning is that, like, and I saw it a lot in breaking in particular, is that, like, this just this, the drive is so strong that it doesn't matter if it's not good, because fuck you, I'm going to do it anyway. And they try a billion trillion times and then they're better than you at it, because they're not, like, oftentimes, they haven't been told yet that you should feel ashamed if you're not doing it correctly.
Yeah.
Like you like the idea that you're not ready for things, like that stuff isn't like kind of ingrained. And it's like I talked about before with this friend of mine who started trading switches way too early, like on one arm, and like barely had a one arm on his left, and he just kept trying. I just didn't say anything because I thought like, well, fuck it. He's going to have done 2000 reps of switches by the time in a short amount of time, and guess what, fucker did 50 switches on the cane, like like one of the best out there at switches, so I'm just gonna shut the fuck up, you know, in one sense, you know what I mean, like it's and if you had told him that, oh yeah, well, like that's no point, you, it's never gonna go anywhere, like all that, those things are kind of things we take in over time as we kind of involve ourselves with the various kind of value signifiers within what we do, and I've seen that a lot more with like older people that kind of like, or in their adulthood, they get into handstands or get into something and they kind of align themselves with the rules of the game very quickly, and they think, oh no, but I can't train a press until like my handstand line is absolutely perfect, because that I've heard is wrong, and if you do it wrong then you're not going to get the results. And like, but what you're really saying, like if you peel back on that, what you're really saying is like the community has decided upon these rules, and I'm going to abide by these rules
Yeah.
because those are the rules. But like, there's no questioning of that. And I mean, with kids, of course, it doesn't. It's not always positive, because like sometimes it can like be, literally be that people just practice something that is useless and
Yeah.
don't know what to do. But you see so often these like you see it very often in these kind of rogue communities, such as like skateboarding or tricking or breaking or
Yeah.
street workout, where like there are no kind of inherent rule set that you need to abide by. And like there's this one Japanese kid that I've been watching a lot called Shosei Iwamoto, I think his name
Yeah.
is. You should check him out on Instagram if you can find him. He's a tricker. I think he's like 14 or 15, and it just blows my mind, or it blows everyone's mind.
Yeah.
And you can see that like so much of the stuff he tries is just kind like in the beginning kind of off, like it's tricking, so it's like finding your own way and all
Yeah.
that. But holy shit, he's good. Like it is like one of the absolute best aerial control in the world.
Yeah.
And this comes from just like, okay, well, I'm just gonna do this thing,
Yeah.
and it's that kind of like that driving force. And I think that like that's one thing with age, that like it also becomes so that like you become worse at being bad at something, I feel sometimes. Not
Yeah.
always, but like you establish an identity, you feel what you can and what you cannot do, and you become like kind of socially aware of feeling awkward because you suck. And some people are better at dealing with that than others, but some like have a hard time feeling bad when people are watching.
Yeah.
Like, or like, okay, shit, I need to only do what I'm good at, or else everyone else will think that. Like that kind of thing being in the background of your thinking process, even though you're not really thinking about that per se. I think that is something that can kind of be holding one back.
Yeah.
But luckily, being an adult too, if you kind of recognize that, you can actually change that behavior and go like, you know
Yeah.
what, I'm actually not going to care about that because I want to learn this thing. But I think in general, like adulthood, I mean,
Yeah.
in its entirety, is more about being conscious about a bunch of shit you weren't conscious to when you were younger.
Yeah. It's definitely that one. It is also like just to touch on this kind of point where I feel older, this is a good and a bad point. I feel older people like that I've trained, people are 40 plus, 50 plus, they are generally much more abiding and follow the programs better and don't try and interject too much compared to younger people. And I
Yeah,
think that
true.
like I think there's 'cause it becomes maybe one, it's just like particularly if someone gets a bit older, like maybe they just have limited time. They just want like give me a fucking plan. I don't want to read about any of this shit because I made a choice on a coach and I'm just going to do it, which is great, which just means go, great, here's your feedback. You know, I've done the plan. Here's my feedback on it. Where do we go from here? Awesome. So this is kind of a double-edged sword because if you pick a good coach, you can work with someone, then obviously you can get a very nice plan and you just don't have to think about it. The downside is obviously a kind of that blind adherence, or maybe not blind adherence, but you know, unwilling to. People become unwilling to question their own opinion on what's going on in a skill, where it's like, oh, the coach said to do it like this. It's not a comment on the coach or anything. It's more just, they said do it like that. I tried to do it like that and it didn't work. Therefore, I'm wrong and not the exercise. Whereas, you know, anyone who's been coaching long enough knows the program you give someone is a guess. It's like, this is my best guess for this person. Obviously, it's informed by all my stuff going on. But at the same time, it's like, if I gave someone an exercise, it's just a bit undoable. Now, obviously, you can correct this quite quickly in the room, but sometimes it's not always correctable in video and other stuff. So, there is that kind of, you know, it's the double-edged sword of like, okay, I'll follow the coach that said exactly. Awesome. You have someone who's got very good compliance and just will tell you when things are not following. And then at the same time, it's like, oh, they're trying something that you gave them that just wasn't the correct fit at that time. So, there's that kind of thing. I find very, that's what I always find about like older people. It's just like, you know, even people who are coaching in their 60s, it's like, okay, they may not have the physical capacity built up. And this is what I think is kind of interesting, because I have met some specimens of 50 who are just like, okay, absolute units. And everyone like comes with a history as well to training. And like, that's the kind of thing, like, if you get a 17-year-old who's kind of a blank slate, okay, that's fine. We can work with that. You know, we can turn them into our perfect slate of perfect handstand chiseled block. Whereas someone who, like, in 50, it's like, oh, you get someone. It's like, well, training-wise, they've had a very good training life, but unfortunately, they had a really bad car accident 4 years ago, what has no fault of their own, but left them kind of with some nerve pain and something weird going on their neck when they turn left or do too much pushing. And it is this kind of thing that you encounter when you deal with people. It's like, a lot of what we're trying to do is, one, work around life story events, like things that aren't even, you know, I wouldn't say they interfere with training, but just they've happened. They're just there. It's just like, you know, no one gets out of like life without any scars. It doesn't matter what you do. So then it's like, oh, okay, it becomes a bit more interesting that we have to negotiate around it. Then obviously we have to negotiate around someone's own story about this thing. It's like, oh, you know, I have whiplash in my neck from a car crash that never really got better. And I find, you know, handstands really irritated, but I really want a handstand. This is someone I worked with in the past. It's like, how can we work on it? It's like, okay, well, you know, this is the kind of ideal plan, but I need you to actually go, like, you know, rate your neck pain out of 3 on a day and go, like, you know, 3 worst pain, 1 no interference, 2 middling, or it's kind of there. And it's like, okay, well, you know, this is what we do on a 3-day, this is what we do on a 1-day. This kind of way of just self auto-regulating training is incredibly important. I think it gets more important as you get older as a skill to practice, just to go, like, okay, I'm not superhuman, every day will not be the same. Maybe the swings and roundabouts of the up and down days can be a bit bigger because of our past kind of what went on. So having strategies to work around that is, you know, incredibly important.
I think also, like, one thing that I've been reading into, just like for various interests, and like I like to just read about things. And like the thing I just mentioned in the beginning of like biology and aging and so on, of course that is a thing. Like, the aging isn't just a number, is bullshit, because when the number is high enough, you're dead. it's basically just to quote Fight Club. On a long enough timeline, the survival rate of everyone drops to 0. It's a thing that exists.
Yeah.
So it, and that doesn't mean that, like, as I said, I think that, like, the general, because like one thing that a lot of people kind of quote when mention when speaking about aging is like the kind of the deterioration of the body, like metabolism, the endocrine system, the everything kind of like dwindling downwards constantly. And yes, of course that happens. Like, it's fine to acknowledge that. And in males, like, kind of the testosterone production kind of slowly dwindling from like 30s and onwards. But like what I feel is very often forgotten in that as well, is exactly these things that we were talking about before, that like, if you look at kind of the statistics, what are the correlating factors? Like, if we just take males and testosterone right now, like, like correlating factors. I mean, when men get children, you in general see a reduce in testosterone. When you see, like, if you have a sedentary lifestyle, you will see a reduction in testosterone, other hormones, etc. When do people become sedentary? Well, it's when their careers kick in, like when they're no longer 24. So like, you have a bunch of these kind of things adding into this, which are super important to kind of also consider. And I think, of course, both for whatever biology you have, male or female, like you will, your system of hormonal production won't be at the same level throughout your entire life. It will change. Yeah. And that happens, but there's so much, and like it's kind of irrelevant really in terms of what you do with, when it comes to physical practice and so on, because all you need to do is just see, okay, where are you at, and practice from that.
Yeah.
Like, and because you like, regardless, even if you go and you monitor your fucking like blood work like constantly, like you're a competitive bodybuilder or something, it doesn't matter that much. Like, you're what you need to be doing is just like keep your focus elsewhere, because it's also just that it's a very, I think it's an unhealthy approach to just think, oh yeah, but I'm this age now and that means that like my body is like this, so then I cannot do this or that. Like, well, like it might be that you cannot do this or that, but just like regard it from a different perspective, I think, is more healthy.
Yeah.
in relation to just, okay, you have the time you have, you have the body you have the training history that you have, and you have the goals that you have. And luckily, when you're older, you are perhaps also more, like it's easier for you to maybe have like a more quote unquote realistic perspective on what you can and cannot do. Yeah. And you might not need the same, like when you're 17, just, oh yeah, you do all the craziest stuff. And if I don't, then it's pointless. Like then you, like someone older might have like a lot more appreciation for things that are not like being the best in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that is something, if I look at kind of my own development and into kind of where I'm at now, like I think there's a strong chance that I've all that I'm past my peak. In terms of training capacity, I certainly am. It's not like that big of a difference, but when I look at like when I look at what I was doing 10 years ago, I think that if I trained like I did now 10 years ago, it would be a lot better for me. Because I was just doing way too much and way too much drive, way too much just, and it wasn't productive. Like 7 days a week isn't productive.
Yeah.
I could just get away with it more than anything else, I think. Whereas now, like I think I still have like a very high capacity and I can still like kind of go, tendency wise, because I'm so used to doing so much, I can still kind of overreach without too much consequence as of yet.
Yeah.
But I'm much more careful with it. I'm much more kind of appreciated too. That's pretty nice that I can do these things. Like I don't need to be at a constant peak. I don't need to be exactly at like where I was like during like a few years ago when I was at like the absolute sharpest I've ever been and I was like underweight and I could just do everything and like no, it's not necessary to enjoy. And also it's not sports, it's not competitive. Like I'm not the gymnast needs to do to get the gold or else it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
It's not like that. And I think that these things definitely are very much in favor of aging with these things. And another thing I've noticed, though, but that is kind of a fascinating thing in terms of just like my physical capacity at things, is that I've noticed that, 10 years ago, there was a bunch of skills that I didn't need to train them, or I didn't actually need to touch them for 3 years, and I'd still have them just because of the physical conditioning I was at. Because I was doing so much other stuff. I was doing so much planche, I was doing so much handstand push-up, handstand, blah, 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 blah. So if I went and I did a back lever, I could just fucking do a back lever. I used to do this like kip into, like slamming into a back lever on straps. No big deal. Yeah. I went and tried the back lever like a year ago. I was like, holy shit, I can barely hold the back lever. While all of the other skills are pretty much at the same-ish kind of area, where there had been a drastic drop at this one thing. And it's the same with other skills that I haven't used, such as like muscle ups or other like similar kind of strength skills. Flares was the same. Like I hadn't done flares for 4 years. And like 5 years ago, 7 years ago, that wouldn't have made that big of a difference. I used to just like, okay, I haven't trained flares for months and months and months and months. And then like, okay, I could still kind of pull it off. Now it was like, okay, I'm a complete noob and I had to retrain. And I feel that like, the things that I don't practice dwindle faster, while the things that I train, those I keep to a similar level. I just feel that kind of like the carryover used to be more significant before. And that might be an individual thing that is only based on me as well. I have no idea if this is the experience of others, but that is something that I've noticed, that like, well, the things I do not do, if I don't do things that are in very close vicinity, I'm not going to keep a whole lot on them. Whereas before it was just like, okay, now I'm strong. Now I'm in good shape. And then I could kind of pull off more or less all of the different things that I had learned in recent times, I'd say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of interesting thing to notice. I wonder if that is other people's experience, that getting older into these things means you need to put less carryover onto other stuff. I wonder if that's just a side effect of like, not training as much kind of general stuff as well.
Might be.
You know, I did notice that as well. Like from the shit they put you through in circus school, the base I built in that, like I'd never really trained cardio, but my cardio base was always kept quite high by doing all the other training I'd be doing, just like weights or whatever. So I still had that. And that took about like 12 years to start to fade, where I'm like, okay, my cardio actually needs some kind of work rather than just like winging it. So that was kind of interesting. So I wonder if it's the same on skills. Kind of.
Yeah, I mean, it's I think it's also another interesting one, of course, is like at what age you learn them, in terms of like how things stick, and that is definitely something that also goes into this. And I'm sure, like, I mean, there is a vast body of knowledge within, I guess, both biology and neurology in terms of all of these things, which could explain it on a more detailed level. Of course, this is more kind of from the experiential side of things, but
I
yeah,
think
there's
like
I think yeah, go on.
just thinking about one thing. So I'm thinking of someone like, I suppose, review like the older coaches we've had over the years. Can remember like one dude I had in circus school who would coach like tumbling and conditioning, called Ken, who we would do conditioning with. Maybe. Yeah, conditioning, which was, he was, I'm not sure, I know he'd done gymnastics when he was younger. He was like in his 50s anyway. And then he also was in the army, so you can imagine his conditioning was just like crunches, lots of fucking crunches. Anyway, and push-ups. That was it. And burpees. That was the conditioning. Conditioning. That was good. It was fine. But when he was demoing tumbling stuff, like he didn't really train stuff. Like he, you know, wasn't looked like he looked like an average 50-year-old who'd been in the army, put it that way. You know, not bad shape, but nothing spectacular. But he'd still be able to do things. Like he'd still demo things every now and then when you weren't getting something right, when he couldn't get you to do it, he'd show himself doing it to go like, look, if I can do it and I'm 50 and I'm fat, you could do it. He wasn't that fat, but you know, he had a bit of a paunch, but not bad. But like I can remember a lot of things he'd demo, like his form was just like superb in terms of just technician. Like he probably wouldn't have been able to pull a double back off, but like his backflip or back handspring were just like everything was sequenced. Like, you know, there was basically like, I think it was this kind of thing of like there was no room for error because he didn't have a lot of capacity or other stuff. So everything just had to be perfect. And it was like everything, like, oh, you know, he'd be explaining, like, okay, you need to get your arms up and the head will follow the arms, not the head, blah, and then chest up to the ceiling. And then when you hit the arch, you feel the stretch across the front of the body, and that's your cue to tuck into your back tuck. And then spot the floor. Once you spot the floor, you kick out and stretch out and land. Like, yes, Ken, yes. And then you just do it, and you'd see everything just like, okay, shit, that's what he means. It's like 50 years of just like abusing students by just going like, I have this, and you can't do this.
Yeah, and I think it's also like that, of course, when you've done things for a long time, or like, I think that is another one. Like, if you learned this kind of in your the middle of your life and then kind of keep it for a long time, you also build a lot of kind of confidence with it in a different way. I mean, but I guess that just comes down to the amount of years that you have spent on something. And that also brings me to another thing, which I've thought a lot about, which is, I guess, hard to have any like raw data on right now. But in terms of this with physical capacity and aging, because one thing is just like the literal age since you were born, but then you always kind of have your training age in one sense. Like, how long have you been involved in a practice? Because I know a lot of people, like particularly in the circus, who started young, who are like, yeah, you know, like my back isn't how it used to be, and like my back kind of like they have some issues in their mid-20s, and it's just that like they did a lot of shit when they were like from they were 12, so they've been smashing up the body for an equal amount of years as me. And I think this is a significant one too, that is important to consider, that like I know people who are like also kind of just like done when it comes to how interested they are, and like they're kind of like not they're not like passionate and motivated about like physical training in the same way, because they did it a ton when they but between they were 12 and they were 22. So like by the time you're 27, 30 years, I was fucking done this forever. Like it's not mega interesting. And I think this is an important, like, maybe a difficult one to understand for many people. So you, I think a lot of people nowadays, they get into this stuff like when they're older, like in terms of like they're maybe 20s or 30s or even older than that. Like they enter it with a lot of passion, and that entry with a lot of passion and fire and like, whoa, this is so cool. Like that doesn't correlate with your age so much. Like, that can happen at any time. And then you come into it and you think it's super fucking cool. And you see this like 21-year-old who's like amazing. And you're like, oh yeah, but it must be so cool. And for that person to go, yeah, I did this since I was like 5-7 years now. So, you know, like it's not news. And it might be that that person is equally kind of smashed up by it if they've done it for a long time, because you do something for long enough, it's going to put its marks on your body. And I mean, the tissues will take its toll. And of course, also when you're younger, you might be able to just like get into more extreme things earlier and then like put yourself past the point of what you should be doing too early. And I know a couple of those people. Like I know particularly this one guy who's like one of the most talented people I've ever seen. And he gets injured very, very easily. Like he's kind of made of glass a little bit.
Mr. Glass.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it at least has something to do with the fact that like it didn't take him that many years of rigorous training until he could do things that were fucking like next level.
Yeah.
And I think that can also kind of be a risk where you like the tolerance of your body isn't necessarily just like super hardcore just because you're younger. Some people can deal with more than others, and our habits and practice and all that kind of plays into that. But ultimately all we're talking about here back and forth is that you basically just have a different set of challenges as you are older. And you have a different also or different kind of ways of doing things, different like life to deal with and so on and so on. And you have different situation, but also different tools with which to deal with that situation.
Yeah. Fat stacks of cash because you have a career and not sleeping on someone's couch.
Fat stacks, well, I'm not sure about that. But,
yeah, you know, it depends, obviously, on people. But, it's kind of like, it is one of these things as well. If I go to just pull some numbers from the personal training industry. So everyone in the personal training industry or other kind of coaching industry kind of always pitches themselves like, I train sport performance coaching, I train figure bikini muscle models, I train blah blah blah, and that's the people that kind of show. But the bread and butter of your clients who will pay your bills are people 45 plus. This is the people who get the most amount of coaching. This is what people, the uncomfortable fact, because they're kind of not 22-year-olds who are hot and attractive and have 100,000 followers on Instagram. And this is kind of what, you know, when we're looking at who gets coaching, that is who gets coaching. So that's what, one of the things I find people are more interested in. This is either, you know, this could be classes, this could be gym memberships, it could be personal one-to-one coaching, all this kind of stuff. Is people are a bit older, will, you know, spend money if they have it on coaching, and that's the kind of thing, even if it's only for a short term. So it kind of becomes like, whereas there's a lot of, you know, if you don't, like, it's that kind of thing, depending on, it's what I'm getting to, is like the resources you have to hand basically dictate what you can do. Whereas if, like, okay, you're 20-year-old, you have not enough money for coaching or very little amount, but you have infinite amount of time, so then you can just go and research, look at other stuff, do it yourself, so you have the resource of time. Whereas if you're older, you might not have time. I can even remember a friend of mine, his wife said this. So they have two youngish kids, and we were complaining about work, not having enough time to work, and they laughed at us and was like, you don't even know the meaning of how much time you have right now. You think you have no time to do stuff, but in reality you just don't even have children, so you don't have to have like that stuff, and that has to get done. Like, oh, okay, that shut us up a bit. So there is that kind of idea of like time as a resource and how to optimize your time. And time is also like, it is that, you know, the running clock of aging is counting down. That's one thing, but just also like the resource of time in your week of like, how much time can I commit to training? How much efficient training can I get done? And that, you know, that kicks in at about mid-20s for most people when you start like, okay, I finished university or finished my studies, whatever I've been doing, and now I need to, you know, pay my rent. How can I pay my rent efficiently? And then, you know, obviously that goes in, and then there's more and more bills on that, or, you know, jobs get harder. So I was like, okay, we are limited in one resource, but what do we have on the next resource? Okay, well, can we make our resource more efficient? And that is something I find older people are just a bit better at. It's just like, okay, I'm just going to get in and get it done. And this goes across any training discipline I've trained people in, be it like, you know, I've achieved with older people who are very focused in 2 sessions a week for weight loss what most people might achieve in 4 sessions, just because they're like, okay, I really want it. This is what I'm going to do. Classic example of like, yeah, I won't name names, but like, one client just been told like by the doctor at age 49, you're going to die if you don't change your lifestyle. Not, you know, you have a heart thing or whatever. It's like, literally, you're just not going to live. And then it's like, okay, well, I got limited amount of time. So then everything got changed. And that kind of closing door effect can be a bit of a motivator. Of like, okay, well, we've got something. I'm not saying you have to be told you're about to die of a heart attack and the only way to fix this is to fix your lifestyle. But having that idea of like, okay, I have a very strict limitation imposed on my lifestyle where I can get up and do my training. And that's one of the other things I noticed when training older people is like, if you tell them we're coming into the gym at 6 a.m., as long as they haven't got limitations on dropping the kids to school or they're past the stage and the kids bring themselves to school, they're down for it. They'll do it. If I tried to get like a fucking 18-year-old out of bed at 6 a.m. to train, it's not happening unless it's like severe amount of bullying. Not for every 18-year-old. I'm sure there's a few of you out there. I get up early and I know that. But everyone I have trained, it has been an effort induced by like having to have like a tub of pre-workout available for them to dip into to get them there.
Like me.
Yeah, basically, you are my infinite 18-year-old. It's going to adopt me.
I think I really enjoy, I guess, in terms of coaching, I think it's cool to deal with a myriad of different situations, and I feel it often comes down to the kind of the same few principles that tend to be overlooked or over focused on even by people, like almost regardless of their age. But I do think that, like, I think older people are also obviously, like you say, if you have disposable income, if you have like, you basically like, you come to a point in your life where you're like, oh, well, I have decided that these things are really fun and important and interesting to me, so I'm going to do it, and I don't mind spending the money on it, first of all, because I have it, and second of all, because it's like, you know that, well, like, you better get on with this right now, or else, like, there is a little bit of a limitation kind of imposed on you in terms of, like, they might not be like panicky, like, oh shit, I'm soon 45, I need to, not necessarily that, but that they know that, okay, I need to commit. And like, by a certain age, when you've, or at least by a certain level of experience points, however you acquired them, you will know that, like, you need to make decisions to make something happen. You can't like fiddle around a lot, because you've probably done that. If you've lived some years, you probably had some things where you tried, but you just piddled around and you never got any results. And that gives you the experience of, hey, I can't piddle around because I don't get any results. And then maybe the next thing you try, you don't piddle around. So I think that, like, the, like, this perhaps, if you put it up in a, I mean, maybe a very simplified way, but like, where the younger athletes goes a lot more on drive, just like the kind of power of youth, let's say, just like that thing, and like just raw motivation for like building identity and becoming good and being cool and being seen and all that, like someone older might just be like, hey, I decide to do this, and like they might work more on kind of quote unquote discipline, even though I don't think the two things are mutually exclusive in any way. I think that like the like, maybe it's the decision is more made in a different way. I at least remember when I was younger that like it would just be raw drive. It would just be like,
yeah,
just this like ridiculous force of like, I have to, like, I need to do this. It's just a steam train. And it's, I think, very much for younger people. It's a lot about this with identity. It's a lot about becoming good at something and literally showing off, like becoming someone because you're cool. Like that's why I started breakdancing. I wanted to be cool too, because I was like fat scrub. So I wanted to do something cool. So I needed to try something. And then that eventually became what I fell for. But I think there's a lot to that, like kind of the identity building and so on. When you're older, you've established more the identity, and that's great for many things. I think it can, of course, like I just talked about, be a thing that could lead you to be too careful and to be like, no, I don't want to try that. Like, you don't want to seem bad at something. And that's where you kind of maybe needed like an injection of youth in you that like, oh, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to try this backflip 18,000 times until I have it. I don't care if it looks like garbage. And you're able to kind of get past that. I think older people are like, you might consciously need to make a decision, and you can, to do such things. But, I think there's like the challenges are different. And of course the thing that I think the most people maybe are worried about is that the ceiling is lower when you're older. And yes, it is. I think like accepting that is a very good thing. Don't go on Instagram looking at age is just a number and you see some fucker on steroids, because like that's what you mostly see on those pictures. There is a thing, because you're aging, and that's fine. Like having acceptance for that, working from where you're at, you can still get like so much done. And I think you're just like wasting more time than anything else if you're just like having kind of your loftiest goal as the only thing that matters.
Yeah. That's kind of just one of the things, just to, I was going to say maybe wrap up there. I've just got one thing, just an observation to wrap up on. Mm-hmm. People who are a bit older are better at following programs. And it doesn't matter where they got the program, whether they got it from a coach, it was a free program they found online, it was a YouTube video, it was something they paid for, it was whatever. They're just better doing it. I've met so many people who are like, oh, I found this program, like I just found this free program online, I've done it for 6 months and it worked. Whereas, you know, and this is like, you know, and I think it's kind of like a shader thing, just like an implicit trust, that kind of thing I spoke about a bit earlier. It's just like, oh, this is something that just popped into my head there. It's like something I've noticed, like people will generally just are a bit more, okay, I found one thing, I liked it, I just stuck with it, versus I have to try this, I have to try that, I have to try that, and get nothing. So there's that kind of like ultimate hybrid of a person we need to get together, where we take like an 80-year-old and mash them together with a 17-year-old, and that gives us the perfect person that happens at about 42.
Basically, we need infinite lives.
Infinite lives. It's cool. Elon Musk will have the Neuralink soon, and then we'll be able to translate our body into new body with all our experiences and biases, and still just be shit.
But we can push it ourselves. Exactly. Be equally shit, just for longer. it'll be like Mario World with like infinite life patch, but it doesn't matter because you still shit.
basically. I think, let's just wrap up there. Other than that, it's been the handstand. This has been the Corona Cast with the handstand. And we will see you next week.
The Handstand Cast is brought to you by Handstand Factory and is produced by Motion Impulse. Thanks for tuning in. You can find a full transcript of each episode along with the show notes and any relevant references on handstandfactory.com/podcast. Thanks to Isaac for editing and Jordan for transcriptions. Music by Daniel Horworth. If you want to support the show, you can buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com or consider starting one of our Handstand Factory online programs. Links are in the show notes.